This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So, guys, I'm accessible.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We got to pause this because Jerry Seinfeld has just shouted out your dad on Saturday Night Live.
I wasn't on Rich Eisen.
No, you were. I saw it.
I like Rich Eisen. I find him accessible.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests: Buccaneers head coach Todd Bowles, host of the Life Gorgeous podcast, Craig Kilborn, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right. Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and, you know, I look to my right where the Larry O'Brien trophy was sitting for the last hour, and now all I see are my notes.
Yeah. Oh, there's a point there.
Very important. Very important. Notes are crucial.
Notes are crucial.
But just a very noteworthy appearance from the Larry O'Brien trophy.
I can't believe you killed Barbara Eden and Larry Merchant.
I mean, Rich.
It's the opposite of power rankings. It's the what, the unpowered. I mean, honestly thought, great.
I'm
for
actually
them.
Not.
More power to them.
I'm not faulting you for thinking that. I mean, they're in their 90s.
Larry Merchant is, hey, Larry's on my list.
Yeah.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Told that to Floyd Mayweather.
That was a great moment in the ring. Yeah. I mean, that
fantastic.
Was
fantastic. So if you missed the first hour, please stay tuned to our Roku channel stream because we re-air on channel 210 as soon as we're done. But we've got so much more to go over the next 2 hours. Todd Bowles of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is going to join us. It was great to see Levante David and the rest of the crew at the Brady Roast. And Levante was in our studio and on Friday, in advance of that. And so Todd Bowles is going to be joining us. And then in hour number three, Craig Kilborn.
Kilby.
We'll be here in studio. Lord Kilby's got a top five list of his own, his top five favorite athletes of all time.
DeLarry's leaving, guys.
DeLarry's leaving. Bye, he's being rolled
bye,
out.
Larry.
Bye, Larry. See you later.
Come back soon.
Our friends from the NBA have taken Larry out. Heading to Access Hollywood. That's next. And then what did they say? They're going to a concert tonight?
21 Savage. It's the forum. 21.
Can where does he sit in front? Is it did Larry O'B get a front row? So,
I would imagine he's on stage.
But by the way,
hold on a second. Sure.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that the first act after the Brady Roast at the Forum is called 21 Savages?
No, just 21 Savage.
Because, No. 21 Savage, because
Savage.
Yes. The number of people that I've heard from that are like, hey, saw you on TV, which is like, you know, I've kind of been doing that for like 25 years. But I love when I get that. Hey, I saw you. I saw you and Susie. I saw you guys. I got a text from some... you know, a couple Jet fans who were very upset that I stood for Robert Kraft when he was introduced.
I mean, that's understandable.
First of all, two things. Number one, the number of you give standing ovations all night at a roast.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, up and down.
And secondly, let me just address the camera here. He's in charge of the NFL broadcast committee. Do you understand?
If you don't,
I might not have had any buttered bread while I was standing, but I was, you know, spreading it.
The buttered bread.
I'm still saying, you know what I mean? Start off, you didn't tell us you were going to be involved. So,
well, in honesty with that, I did not know that until the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So I got
a call from Jeff Ross on Saturday saying, you know, we need somebody to kick the roast off to introduce Kevin Hart. Would you be our, as he referred to it, our Howard Cosell? Because I think Cosell used to do that for some roasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, I think so. Awesome I don't know, you know, that portion of the history, but he referred to me as, so first of all, Jeff Ross asks anything. He has me at hello. Mm-hmm. Then he asks for me to be his Howard Cosell.
I mean,
you know, that's, you're talking my language. Like, that's directly up my alley. And so... So I didn't know until Saturday.
Gotcha. It was great. Like, you sit there, you're on time, you're waiting, and the clock's coming down, and it pops up. And I look, my friend Scott Sartiano sitting right behind you, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, yes. He did come up to me and say, you know, I know TJ Jefferson, which happens to me every day. I walk out in Los Angeles.
I don't know if that's true,
pretty much.
It happens to me.
Pretty much happens to me all the time.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
And man. So when you say that counting down, I was just telling this to Suze last night. You know, again, I'm kind of having fun that, you know, hey, I've been on TV for X number of years, well, and whatever. Have. No, but I do, as you know, relish popping up in spots where people don't mm-hmm. expect to see me. I love roasts, but I do love live audiences, and I do love energy. And I try my best to live in a moment. And standing there when it was time for the roast to start, and Chris, you were there too.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced in the arena, we have 1 minute to go.
Yep.
Now, when I first strolled out, Susie and I were taking our seats next to the Grays.
I know.
Mr. and Mrs. Jim Gray.
Let's go.
And so as we were taking our seats and we stepped out into the Forum Arena for the first time, I got to tell you, I looked up because I was wondering, are they going to sell the place out? For a roast on a Sunday night, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It's not a rock concert, but I had a little bit of concern. Are they going to sell it out? I walk in there. It's sold out.
Packed.
Yeah.
There was I mean, people.
There wasn't an empty packed seat in the house.
Yeah.
And so you could hear, you know, a buzz in the arena when you started walking.
A lot of jerseys. I guess I don't know why I wasn't expecting that, but I kind of wasn't.
Listen, man, you Patriot fans are friggin' everywhere.
Yeah.
So... Susie and I are sitting, so they come and collect me and place me where I was starting and talking in the microphone. And they announced 1 minute to go to air. And there was such, I'm getting goosebumps just even talking about it. There was such an audible roar from the crowd, and it hit me. I'm like, oh man, like this place is ready to rock. And I thought to myself, like, was there tailgating? Was there just like, because it sounded like a well-oiled crowd.
I mean, they had bars okay. all around.
It was yeah. everywhere.
It was,
forum, right?
It was pretty great.
So I heard it. Both, and yeah. then when it was time to start, you heard that Netflix, da-doom, that you hear. Yeah. Anytime you open the app yeah. right here on Roku, you hear that noise. Boom. And that echoed throughout the arena.
Did it?
It did.
It was loud.
And
was
I
loud.
Thought to myself, yeah. oh man.
Now
the rehearsal beforehand that I did earlier in the day, no one's in there. And they also hadn't shot the cold open yet. So there was like a placeholder.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't seen the cold open yet either. And the cold open was Belichick mm-hmm. telling Bledsoe he's out and Brady's in for the roast.
yeah.
Which was laugh out loud hilarious. The whole place went nuts yeah. over that.
Drew's reaction too.
Because that yeah. all the Pats fans in their jerseys seeing Belichick was there and Bledsoe was there. Because
yeah.
we were aware of it because we're...
Right, but it wasn't now. Like Drew, I think, was... Like Schefter had tweeted out a few
right.
of the Patriots players. But Belichick was kind of a rumor, 50-50. Is he going to be there?
Right.
Is he not?
So the place went nuts. And then they did have the show open that you see on Netflix, which is the names of the people who are all going to speak. And with each one, there was an audible roar. Yep. And then it was time. Then they had that shot, the overhead shot of the forum. And that's when they started counting me down. And I'm like, okay, like this is gonna be a night. And then I did my thing. And like, here's Kevin Hart. And the place went nuts. And it's still trending now, right?
Still Brady's trending. Still trending. Tom Brady's still trending.
Man, it really was a dynamite night.
I guess watching
great
it from home, I didn't
fun.
Expect that many people, but the wide shot, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It was electric in there. It was completely electric in there. And then, you know, Kevin Hart comes out, and his first 90 seconds, 2 minutes was clean. Tone. Like, it was PG, and he was just setting up the tape of letting everybody, I guess, remember who the GOAT is. And then he went in. He went all the way in on everything. And then the rest of the night, as we all know, is history. And it really is. It's television, streaming television, Netflix television, history. being a live event.
I'm dying to see the numbers. Like, I'm sure Netflix will probably wait a week, let the word of mouth kind of spread.
Yeah, keep
people
going.
Go back and watch it. But next week when they release a number, I'm pretty geeked to see that because I think it's going to be high.
Can't wait, man. Fun stuff. You haven't seen it yet, have you, Mike?
No, because I have to have time. I'm going to make it a night when I can sit. Don't have to, interruptions.
And you don't have to worry about what Monty Ossenfort did, which is like turn it on live.
Yeah.
And he had his three girls there go, whoa, mom and dad are pausing this.
Oh.
That was funny yesterday.
Kevin Hart's first Giselle joke, and it's like, okay.
Well, then Kevin Hart saying that, you know, Giselle's like, I want you retired. You got to be retired, okay? And you said no. And he goes, like, who wouldn't want to go, you know, like, 8 and 9 and lose your wife and kids for going 8 and 9?
You got to do it. I respect it.
Got to do it.
That's when it's just like, okay. And I think it did dawn on Brady
sure,
as well.
No doubt. He was like, oh, I'll have some more tequila. I need to loosen up a little bit.
I kind of just wanted to, you know, if it came up, and it did, just I wasn't planning on talking about this to start hour two. But I was telling Susie the last night, like, this was pretty friggin' cool.
Yeah, you know, I think it's something we've been talking about for a while.
Well, again, no, I'm talking about me, Mike.
Come on. Rich, I get you. I feel you, brother.
Jeez, the hell.
Nothing wrong with that.
Talk about the rest of the roast.
Rich knows him.
21 Savage.
Can you do something for me? 21.
That's tonight. Now, Larry O.B. is going to be there. Larry O.B. was at the red carpet. Brady and Gronk went up to it. They didn't mind. And I assume they're rooting for the Celtics, too. Gronk did say, I'm not going to spike it.
That was nice.
As he was talking to the Larry.
That was really nice of him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I saw Gronk afterward, and he's really tan. And I'm like, bro, you're tan. He's like, well, I've been in Florida for 40 days. He's like, I've been on vacation for 2 months. Okay, cool.
What is that like?
Living the life, man. Just living the life.
I have no idea.
He's like, then I was in the Bahamas, and
what could that be like,
dude?
Honestly, what could be? Honestly, I'm just sitting here thinking, what could 2 months of vacation be like?
Lovely. That's what it could be like.
I don't know. I think I'd go crazy. I don't know.
I would.
I mean, you heard Gronk said he's doing all right.
No, I'm not. But I just don't. I don't.
Gronk's living his best life.
I don't know. I mean. The last time I had that much time off was I was in between jobs of NFL Network and ESPN.
40 days, we would go crazy, Rich. I would go nuts. 40 days off.
You don't even know how to take 4 minutes off.
Exactly.
You're already thinking about how am I going to set up for that UFL game I'm definitely set up for already. But I need to talk about that so I can get out of Friday's Rich Eisen show.
Second most watched game of the season. I've done 1 and 2. That's all that matters for me.
Sure, there's some baseball you got to do, right?
Do you go, I do baseball. Do
you
go, baseball.
If you weren't doing the games, would they not be as highly rated?
When you set up for the UFL, when you set up for
Jason
the UFL game,
Jason saw me.
No, hold on a second. Yes. I'm asking. Let me. Do you go underground? Do you actually like lift a manhole cover up and go underground? they put out cones on Pico Boulevard at the corner of Pico and Motor, and people are like, "Damn it, this what's the traffic jam for?" And then Del Tufo is like going down in the manhole cover, so you need to connect wires.
I need a prop. I don't have my prop.
Are you shutting the grid down like the electric? Electrician and Die Hard.
Yeah,
or you lose your job. That's an underrated line in Die Hard, by the way. Die Hard, the building right around the corner from where he does his stuff.
Down the street.
Where's he going?
What
is he doing?
He needed a prop.
He goes off camera. He goes off mic to grab a mic.
Yes. Because when
did
you
that just
go,
happen?
Yes.
Did
yes.
our because sound I mean, engineer?
I mean, when he was I off mic, he was explaining what he was doing.
When you pick this thing up,
when
mic. You're doing a pregame or something, if you're not wearing a lav, which I love that you wear lavs of the headset.
Thank you,
but
Mike.
When you pick this up and you go, hello, it's Rich Eisen, I'm on the air.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know the work that goes in from the guy who mic'd you up to in the truck? It's like insane.
I know that most of the people,
and that's
that,
what I do on
at
Friday.
The site. They do that at
because
the site.
I'm not on site,
right?
So I have to test between wherever the game is and Pico.
Yes,
and it's not like just like it's 20 paths of stuff,
and that can't start at what, that can't start
no,
at 1 in the afternoon
because we have to test transmission to make sure everything's in sync so that you're not seeing lips move with the video.
Okay,
it's crazy. And by the way, this is the biggest show that I do. In that world, world of games, so you jerks don't get, like say I'm saying this isn't a big show. In a sense of the setup,
It's a lot of work for me.
Okay. So,
and by the way, so bigger than a Super Bowl to some at Pico in a sense of what they say for the guy who's doing my job.
When you say big, you mean intricate.
Yes, yeah. There's a
complex,
lot.
Complex.
Yes.
Time-consuming.
All right, because when you say it's bigger,
no, I don't mean, I know, you take it as bigger.
Do you understand the Roku portal
of course.
Power, Mike?
You know, yes. Roku
do Joe's I need to give you? This, do I need to give you a one sheet?
Joe loves me. We worked at Fox
Joe's
Sports.
Joe's watching
together.
This.
Joe loves me. Come on. And I mean, by the way, that's what
people,
I say.
The number of people who just heard you describe what you do for UFL dwarfs the UFL broadcast. In terms of homes and in terms of re-airs,
Roku's all over the world.
And in terms of audio audience, and Mike, seriously, so you should be here Friday, is what I'm saying.
Well, he won't be. But.
Because he can't stop working.
No.
I can't.
40
My
days.
Man loves working. About,
he likes working.
Loves if
working.
I stop working, I'm going
like
to die.
You working like Gronk loves vacation.
Well, I mean,
might be working.
I'd die.
And that's why he always Instagrams out a selfie of himself not working.
Because
it's so rare.
Because it. I do like that.
Okay.
I'll be on my boat this afternoon.
Teeth off, like, hey.
That's it. Showing off. Hey.
Mike, you live the life.
You, should,
dog.
You know what? You should You're get your, boat, your, de- you your dentist should sponsor your selfie.
Can we do
that
a roast
is
of
a
me?
Fact.
I want to have my own roast. Rich, you could host it.
Oh, I'd love to.
We got to do Adult
Tufo
Roast.
You turned 60 and when? 2 years?
2 years. We got to do Adult Tufo Roast in 2 years.
Del Tufo Roast.
Done.
100 by now, man.
By the way, we should sell tickets because we would sell it out. Fans would love to be there for
okay.
you.
Okay.
Right. Because you guys would eviscerate me, and I would like it. I actually get eviscerated every day.
Brother, we will.
It's perfect. I mean, I'd be perfect
we
for
We will reach out to Roast Jay Simpson. Or the juice.
I mean,
what was the other one? The real killer.
Oh my god. Jeff Ross.
Oh my god.
All right, let's take a break because when you say roast jokes out of context, it's not good.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
And plus, Todd Bowles is a classy man. We need to class this place up before he joins us. All right, Todd Bowles, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Next, this is the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Thrilled to have here on the Rich Eisen Show, one of our favorites. Always great to catch up with the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here to not only talk about his team, but also the Buccaneers National Coaching Academy. Good to see you, Todd Bowles. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fine.
Good.
I saw Levante David here last Friday. He was here in Uh-oh. Studio. What do you mean?
He's a good one to talk to.
He is. I was telling the guys when he got up here that I just love talking to you know, vets, like dead, you know, solid, perfect, diehard football vets. And him entering year 13 and looking like he's literally 13 years old, you know, is and his passion for the game. I love it. Todd, you must love having him back again.
Oh, I love having him back. Like I told him at the end of the year, I didn't want him to even think about retirement, the way he played, what he brings to the table for us, and the excitement he gives our guys on defense is unmatched. And the way he carries himself, the way he goes about being a professional, the way he spreads wisdom, you know, he's really been a joy for me to coach.
Now, obviously, you know, you want him back, and Baker and all the Evans and all the guys going into your off season after a very nice season that you had. This is the ultimate of you can't control what you can't control. You know what I mean? You're what was that like for you while Jason Light was doing his work?
No, it was scary at first. You know, you got all these guys open, and, you know, with Mike potentially being on free and Baker being free and Levante being free, you got, and Winfield as well, before they tagged them, you have a chance to not only lose all your leaders, but lose all your playmakers as well. So it's always an option. So you're always scrambling from that standpoint. But fortunate enough, Jason did an outstanding job getting everybody back that we needed back. And I feel a lot better now.
Now that you're looking back, how did Baker move so well into the role of quarterback when he followed the man in Tom Brady, Todd?
I think, you know, the first thing we told Baker when he came in was to be himself. I mean, nobody's going to follow Tom, you know, and nobody's going to walk in Tom's shoes. And like I told him, you put Tom's shoes on the shelf and you buy a new pair and you get used to that pair and you learn to walk in those, because nobody's going to walk in Tom's pair. Baker did just that. He's a completely different guy and player than Tom. We didn't try to have the same system we had in place for Tom. We didn't have the same scheme or anything like that. We wanted him to be himself. At the time, we needed the leadership over there. We needed the spark plug over there. He gave us just that, and he did all that while being himself.
Well, who is he when you say being himself?
He's a very fiery guy on the field. He's a very enthusiastic guy. He has a linebacker's mindset. But he's a very intelligent quarterback. He's a great teammate off the field. He embraces guys off the field, eats with the guys, goes to lunch and dinner with the offensive and the defensive players. You'd think he'd be a linebacker or a lineman with the way he hangs out with those guys so much. So he brings the team in. He gives them hope because he always talks to those guys. And when he leads on the field, you want to listen, because he's the same every day as far as trying to win every play, not just trying to win during the game. He tries to win in practice. The way he prepares, he tries to win. And that gave us a different leadership we have when we had the people from the past, when we had Tom and those guys, because Tom was already established. Baker wasn't established, now at least not here, from a credential standpoint. So it was important that he came in to be himself, and those guys embraced him that way, and that's how they saw him.
Well, he was established reputation-wise, and I say that as a guy who's a big fan of his, you know? So that when you say, like, hey, be the guy that you are, and then so many people have a vision of the guy that he was, wouldn't really want to be the guy that you want to say that to, Coach, you know? But there was nothing like that at all for you.
Well, you know, sometimes the player doesn't fit the scheme over a course of years, and he had his ups and downs, but be the guy that I told him to be. I got to know him when I was in New York. I got to know him at Oklahoma very well. We got to know each other very well. We kept in touch over the years. And the guy I wanted him to be was the leader off the field, the leader on the field, his fiery self, and to get the guys fired up, but with his own way and at his own time. And that's when I was talking about him being himself. And that's the guy that we've grown to love, because he's endured some. He grew up some. This league will humble you. Coach or player will humble you at some point. He took some bruises over the years. He learned from them. He's a very mature guy that way. He took the lumps and he came out on top, and he bet on himself and he won.
You're talking about when in New York, when you were evaluating for that third overall selection, that in the draft he went one and Sam Darnold wound up three. That's what you're referring
exactly
to.
Exactly right.
So then last one on Baker. How's he a different guy than the kid that you met during that process for you right now?
Well, I think from a maturity standpoint, obviously he's married. He just had a kid, so he grew up that way. I think from a football standpoint, he's still the same. He's still the same fiery guy. He knows how to channel it when he needs to channel it, and he knows when it needs to come out and at the right moment for the team. And I think from that part, he understands it better than he did when he was a young player coming out.
So what do you say to fans who might be concerned that Dave Canales was the one who was kind of stirring the drink a little bit with his play calling and everything else offensively last year, and now he's the head coach in your division for Carolina?
I would say that Dave helped Baker as much as Baker helped Dave. You know, it was a two-way street. From that standpoint, Dave put him in some positions and Baker bailed Dave out some. So I thought it was a good collaboration. Happy that Dave got the job, but we still have Baker and we're still confident in him. And with Liam coming in, we feel we have some continuity there. So I think they both made each other better.
I've got Todd Bowles, head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Looks like you got Baker a new center in the draft. How quickly do you think Graham Barton can get up to speed here for you?
Well, he's pretty bright. Hopefully he gets up to speed soon. You know, center is a tough position in this league, but we drafted him just for that position right there. As soon as we get him in here this coming weekend for minicamp and get his whereabouts around him, I think he'll catch up pretty quickly.
So where are you, I guess, phase-wise here? Walk me through where you are with, you know, rookies coming in, undrafted, and then the guys that you did draft.
We're in phase two right now with the veterans as far as working out and walkthroughs on the field. They're still in the training mode. We can't go against the offense yet. We can't line up and go run plays against the defense either. So we're walking through schematically, and they're getting in shape. The rookies will come in Thursday because we have rookie mini camp this coming weekend, Mother's Day weekend. So we'll have all those guys in starting Thursday afternoon. We'll go through the weekend with them and get our first look at them live.
And so as we look at your draft choices up on the screen, when you said you can't do it, is that a collective bargaining thing where you can't go like
that?
Yeah,
that's right? League-wide. It's only phase two. It's league-wide. You can only do what so much.
Right. So, you know, and I guess that's one thing I want to throw your way is just, again, you don't have to, I guess, worry about developing quarterbacks, although you never know, right, in this league. And the times that you're allowed to have players in your building and then do stuff on the field, do you feel, in a way, again, you've been in this league a long time, that these concepts need to be revisited, Coach?
The old school me says yes, you know, but everybody's playing with the same deck of cards. So although you like it, revisit it, and you can never have enough teach time. I think the time we get in the spring is critical on how you teach and the importance of teaching. So we just got to take advantage of that and not worry about how much time we get and just use the time that we have very well. So, you know, I can't do anything about the agreement or anything else. So we just go with the flow and make sure our guys are prepared to play.
And then a couple of rule changes. How do you think whatever has been done for the hip drop tackle and trying to remove it, how's that going to be a challenge for you with some of your players and teaching it and getting it out of the game to avoid a flag?
No, for us, it's not going to be a big problem because we didn't teach it to begin with, and we try not to do it, and we don't condone it at all. I think it's great to get out of the game. I think it just brings more awareness to when some people are trying to get down, and I don't think it'll be a problem for our team. I think it'll be interesting in the league if somebody's at the end of the ball game and somebody's trying to get out of bounds and runs a crossing route and somebody's chasing them from behind and tries to keep them in bounds. That will be very interesting. Nobody tries to do it. Nobody wants to do it. I think it should be banned from the game. I think it just brings more awareness to it. But as far as we're concerned, we don't teach it, and we try not to do it at all.
And then how do you think the new kickoff rules are going to change things? How do you think that's going to play out?
That one's going to be interesting. So it'll be a very interesting preseason. You know, I think guys that have returners, it'll be interesting with the closeness of the kickoff team now. You know, it's almost like a defensive play as opposed to a special teams play because of how close they are in proximity at this point. It's just a matter of where the double teams come from, and your guess is going to be as good as mine. We're going to sample some things in preseason and put out there and see if it works for the best.
Interesting. You think? Could you expound on that when you say it's going to be more like a defensive play than a special teams play? Because you also have two guys, right? There's going to be two returners.
There'll be two returners back there, but you're only going to be 10 yards from the blocker. So right. You can run down there. You don't have to run fully down the field, you're already going to be down there, and it's going. They're going to have two returners, but you still got 11 guys. It's like having a quarterback and a running back back there, and they can't throw it to each other technically. But it's going to be interesting. The blocking schemes are going to be interesting. Do you need bigger guys? Do you need more athletic guys? No different than the kickoff team. Do you have bigger D linemen out there? Do you have linebackers? Where are the small, fast guys going to be? And do they pull people? Do they double one guy? And the dynamics of it is going to be very interesting. So the people that can get off blocks the best and kind of corral it will have some success. And the people that can't, you know, they may pop them through the hole and you may start kicking it in the end zone. But we're going to try both. And we have some things, some new things we want to try in preseason to see if that works for us.
And then is there conceptually a different type of returner, or you just, no, let's get the fastest guy out there and see what works?
I think it probably needs to be a bigger guy because those guys are a little close. I think there are some small guys that can do it, that have done it. You're probably more into the running back mode as opposed to the little short, quick returner mode, unless he has some toughness there, because it's going to be 11 guys already down there. So you're going to have to get hit at some point.
And then roster wise, does that factor in who makes a 53?
It will factor in. I think it has a great deal of who factors in, whether you carry more DBs or more linebackers, or is that receiver still good enough to play special teams that can tackle? So you run into a bunch of dynamics depending on the team of what you have and what you don't have already.
Love it. Talking ball with Todd Bowles, head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What's the scoop with the Buccaneers National Coaching Academy?
Well, it kicked off yesterday. You know, we have 25 people in that applied for this job out of about 1,500 applicants, and trying to get them to see what it's like to be in the real NFL organization, trying to get to know people and see what it takes to coach. It's like an extension of the Fritz Pollard deal, the minority coaching internship. And it's really to find or prepare or get insight for the coaches to become NFL coaches in that aspect. So we have about 25 people in here that's going to be in for the rest of the week. And at the end of that, we'll choose five that'll attend training camp with us that we feel like may have a future with the team, maybe not immediately, but somewhere down the line. And it gives people exposure to NFL coaching that they wouldn't ideally normally have. I think Darcy Glazer Kasowitz came up with a great plan to put in place that we have all these people with these coaches, getting to know them getting to know us and understanding what the NFL life is like behind the scenes and as far as expanding their coaching knowledge. And, you know, it really is a great thing to try to help the league push it forward.
What's the general resume and background of those who are fortunate?
It can be one of many. You got to have a couple years of coaching experience, obviously, whether it's high school, whether it's college, whether it's Canadian, whether it's anything like that. You got to have a few years of coaching experience, and you get interviewed, you get screened, you send in your resume, you get screened, then you go through the next set of interviews. And, you know, before the process is over, they narrow it down and we pick the people out. And when we come in here, they came in yesterday, as a matter of fact, and we just had some meetings today. They get to learn coaching. They get to talk ball. They get to see how it's like from a coaching staff. The coaching staff gets to know them. They get to see the players. They'll be around the players all weekend. They attend rookie mini camp. And, you know, after that, we'll pick five that will attend training camp and go through the whole training camp. So I think it's a good process, and it's a good way for some of those people to network. It's a good way for us to try and find the next coach to come in here or go anywhere and have some experience on it. So it helps both sides.
Do they meet Arians to learn how to use colorful language and get away with it? Is that part of the process?
They zoomed with him earlier today. They had a panel discussion with Bruce Arians and Tony Dungy. Oh. Bruce zoomed in here. Tony was in here live.
All right.
With Rodney Barber. So they got to talk some ball with Bruce today.
Okay. So they flex. You're flexing. You're bringing in the stars. You're
bringing in the big guns.
You are. Fantastic. All right, before I let you go, you said veterans are there. Are they fresh back from the Brady roast, some of these guys, Coach? Are they fresh back?
Some of them need a day or two.
They need a vacation from their vacation, pretty much. Did you watch any of the Tom Brady roast, Coach?
I caught snippets of it. I'm a huge Nikki Glaser fan, and I try to watch any roast that involves her. Unfortunately, I missed it that night, but I'm going to catch up with it this weekend.
Oh, boy. Well, you named the number one roaster of the night, Coach. She absolutely destroyed the place. She wrecked it.
I'm a huge Nikki Glaser fan.
Is that right?
I am. I really am.
Okay. So you like her work and from the roasts and
any roast that she's on, I'm watching.
Well, she had some special ammunition for the honoree of the night, Coach.
Oh boy.
But listen, so since you are familiar with her work and roasts in general, you probably don't need this advice, but just make sure the kids are all tucked away when you hit play.
I'll make sure they don't see it.
Oh my gosh. But it was good to see Levante and some of your other guys that were out here in support of Tom. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to see everybody back
there.
Oh yeah, and one last thing, because Levante told me this, that Tom Brady did not address the team in a pregame huddle of any sort until the Super Bowl. Did that
That's very true.
I mean, that I don't know why that blew me away. That he never once in the Super Bowl season stepped in pregame to say, let's do this, let's, you know, fire up the crew. That never happened.
Tom, more of a leader out of the huddle. He ran the offense and he led the offense, and there were guys that spoke. But when Tom speaks before a game, everybody's going to listen because he's a man of few words in that category. He'd rather go by actions. But when he spoke, everybody listened to a T and they followed the assignment.
Was that purposeful that, you know, I'm not going to speak until we make a Super Bowl?
No, I think it was spontaneous. It was spontaneous. You know, Tom doesn't hold his breath and then comes out and say something. When he has something to say, he's going to say it. Now, he said things in other ways, probably not to the whole group, but right. He said some things. But that was the first time he sat there and went with the whole group and said what he had to say. And everybody from there just took off.
Well, I guess if you want anybody to hold, you know, specific ideas until Super Sunday so it can really stand out, I guess he's the guy, you know?
He is definitely the guy.
Coach, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Say hi to everybody down there in Tampa. And let's do this again real soon and enjoy the Brady roast when you catch up to it.
You got it, Riz. Appreciate it.
There you go. That's Todd Bowles, everybody. Head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Nikki Glaser fan here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Didn't see that coming, but rightfully so. She destroyed on
By
Sunday.
The way, gold medal, right?
Destroyed.
And Tony Hinchcliffe, the silver?
I want to go 1-1A, I think, with them.
Okay.
And then after that, I think we could probably have a conversation about
which Patriot?
About which Patriot. Ron Burgundy, I thought, was
Brady was
tremendous.
Terrific. Oh, Kevin Hart, too.
Kevin Hart was a great host. Jeff had a great... I mean, everyone crushed. It was... Again, I've already watched it twice. It's amazing.
Have you really?
Yeah, it's so good.
And you lived it leading up to it, too.
Yeah.
Sam J with the hospital gown.
Sam
joke.
J was so good. Talking about Brady had to leave Boston because he was too black.
Unbelievable. Again, saying roast jokes outside of the roast
doesn't really work, but
no, you run the risk.
Yeah,
but we're out of the safe space.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. 844.
You know what he's talking about.
204 Rich, number to dial. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, some schedule news coming up.
Oh.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Game time tickets. Get the app. Put it on your mobile device. Certainly, if you're like the scenes in New York last night, I mean, who wouldn't want to try and go to a playoff basketball game right now? With all due respect to those who are listening in Denver right now, it was kind of pretty quiet in there. But if you're a Minnesota fan in town, my gosh. Go see your team if you want to in the basketball playoffs and use Game Time tickets because prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip off. There's last minute deals, all in prices, views from your seat, lowest price guarantee. There's no reason to not check it out. Takes the guesswork straight out of buying basketball tickets. That's Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use our code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. If restrictions apply, visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem your code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right. How about this? Let's talk Bengals football.
Ooh.
Yes. Tyler Boyd is a Tennessee Titan.
Yes.
Okay. So put him in Tennessee. Brian Callahan's like, I'll take a guy I know how to coordinate an offense for to get a pass to here and there. I keep telling you guys, T. Higgins is going nowhere. If he wants to play football this year, it's for the Cincinnati Bengals. Because if there's one guy who will not be moved at all on this front, in my estimation, it's Mike Brown. Honestly. A guy who kept his dad's name on the stadium until he had to pay Joe. So he went to Paycor and said, let's put your name on the stadium.
Pay Joe.
Honestly. And when they paid Joe, I say this with all the due respect, which means I can now be like I'm at the Brady roast. When they paid Joe Burrow, that noise you heard was the sound of, I think, Mike Brown's Velcro wallet ripping open. That was the noise. And it's Joe's world. This is it. As far, you know, with all due respect, again, to Jake Browning, who played very well and got me to my fantasy finals last year.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. Until, you know, then all of the roof fell in. They got to get Joe healthy and keep him healthy, and that's the end of it. How's that for a take? This is Joe Burrow apparently throwing. He's throwing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Let's see it. Let's see it. Oh, look at the hair.
Moving around.
He's got elite hair now, man. Okay, throwing on the run, too. This is exactly the type of stuff that he then came up lame on last summer. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, guys. We're for the radio audience, he's throwing, and he's flipping behind his back. He's Joe Burrow.
I don't know
now.
If that was completed, though. That kinda,
doesn't matter.
It was off screen.
I mean, he looks great. That's all that matters. His hair is perfect. There's no helmet. No helmet. Joe Burrow had this to say.
Oh, he spoke.
Oh, yes.
I think I'm fully cleared for everything other than contact right now. That'll come in the next month, probably, but it's no rush. Season doesn't start for a while, so we're in a good spot. You know, whenever you have an injury to your throwing side, you're never quite sure how it's going to turn out at the end, but I'm in a good spot. I'm happy with where I'm at, and I'm going to continue to get better.
Attaboy. It's May. You know what? If I had a chance to ask Joe Burrow a question right now, it truly would be, how much pomade are you using now? Is he upgraded that part of his game?
Looks good. Del Tufo just looked at me and said, top five best-looking quarterback in the NFL. So,
right?
I guess. I think it's not the top five Kilborn has.
No.
He's working.
So...
I just want him to stay healthy, man.
Hey everybody who loves the Ravens coming in this year. And we do with Derrick Henry and, you know, Steelers have Ross, whatever. Don't forget. If I had to guess right now, I don't know how these holdouts are going to go. Ooh. I don't know how the holdouts are going to go. I was about to call my shot.
Ooh,
but Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins, I don't know if they're really going to hold out.
You want to pick the Bengals to win the North?
I so want to do it. I bet you. You know, here's one. Put Chase Brown on your fantasy list.
Fancy sneaker.
Oh yeah, baby.
I combine sneaker and sleeper.
Just throw that air. You know, in terms of the NFL schedule, I was told you that the NFL schedule, the 2024 schedule release show that's on NFL Network that everybody made fun of until everybody started copying it.
So true.
I was told to keep Thursday night free.
Oh.
This week.
Ooh.
Because as you know, if you don't mind me saying, can't release the NFL schedule without me. You know what I mean? There's no I in the NFL, but there is one in Rich and Eisen. You know what I mean? It's not one in schedule either. Damn it. Nah. Oh, at any rate.
Are you available? Did you clear your schedule?
Of course I cleared my schedule. Just, NFL Network says clear your schedule. You know what I do?
You clear it.
Clear it. Clear it. Just been told, do what you want to do Thursday night.
Oh. Interesting.
Just told, fill your schedule with whatever you'd like.
What about tomorrow night?
No, I've told this week to...
This week is off.
My week is, as they say, as scripted. No schedule this week.
Trying to figure out where to put the Bears in primetime week one.
I have been told.
Yeah. Ooh. What do you got?
To clear my schedule for next Wednesday.
Oh.
So.
Here it comes.
Maybe so. I just don't know if that's it. I can't think they're going to go any further than May 15th. I don't know.
This is the latest. It's
been late, but I don't care. It's great.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's great. It's great. Let's give me something mid-May to talk about. My God. But screw it. We'll do it now. Kansas City Chiefs are going to open the season. They're going to raise a banner, and they're going to make sure that whoever comes in doesn't do to them what the Lions did last year. If there's any team that's going to come in.
So, cupcake week one?
No. No.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
They're going to make sure they're going to treat whoever comes in as a cupcake.
Oh, I thought the league was going to like.
What are our options? Have we done this yet? Let's do it.
For the Chiefs?
Okay. How about Joe? We just saw Joe. How about it? That's it. I don't think they want to do division games. And I just don't think they're going to put the Ravens in there either. I don't think they're going to go AFC championship game rematch in the middle. Don't forget, last year they put Eagles and Niners late in the season.
I like Harbaugh. I like Jim.
But I know that, but they don't want to put a division game in there.
I know.
They did Packers-Bears recently.
Not on a Thursday night, not on a banner-raising night.
That's right. You want to save that.
Stroud? You put Stroud out there week one?
We've mentioned that.
We talked about that with the Bears.
I just think it's Joe. It's Bengals. But Burrow's back. Bengals, Chiefs, former AFC combatants, only team that's actually beaten, Mahomes in an AFC championship game in his life since Brady. The only active quarterback that hasn't been roasted,
True.
To beat Mahomes. I think that's what it is. If I had a guess.
But it's so easy to do Harbaugh.
Everybody's curious about it. What is it going to look like? Yeah. But I just don't think they're going to put a division game the first game. I just don't think that's it.
Smells like a Sunday.
Right. And I just, again, last year, sound like, hey, great, let's get an AFC championship game rematch to start everything. But don't forget, last year, they took an NFC championship game rematch and stuck it late in the season, and I think they'll do that again here. Texans would be a really fun kickoff. Really fun kickoff.
Yeah. J.J. Watt said he might think about coming back.
Well, when he said that, I think he's talking about like Eric Weddle or what Les Snead's.
Oh, like middle of the
kind
year.
Of tongue-in-cheek, even though it wasn't tongue-in-cheek. Aaron Donald, let's come on out for playoffs, like if he needs him. If they need him. Like they're down tons of bodies, like they were, the Rams were at safety in that playoff run years ago. I don't know.
I'm going to say Texans.
would be really sweet. But if I had to guess, it's the Bengals to kick it off. Craig Kilborn's coming up, everybody. Just saw Craig in the green room. Always forget how tall he is. Once again, I mean, this guy, man. You want putting up our text exchange, if you don't mind. From last week, this is last Wednesday. I'm like, you know what? Let's get Kreger's in here. Let's get Lord Kilby back in here. Are you free to come in next Tuesday, fresh off of Game 2 versus the Nuggets? And he wrote, right in the middle of another Wolves sweep. And look who's about to stroll in here with the Wolves up 2-0. Wow. And not just up 2-0. A hard 2-0.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Like a hard-fought game one, drawing blood type battle. But that's usually where the defending champs will come in and spank them and say, this is going to be a long series, everybody. Yep. Certainly with Rudy Gobert in a maternity ward.
Mm-hmm.
And their coach in the front, in the first row, to protect his surgically repaired leg.
Yeah, you got one. You stole game one.
Right.
Congrats.
No.
We're still the champs.
No.
And here's a double-digit game two win. Let's go back to your place.
Right.
Evened up.
I know the Timberwolves are like, how does a 30-point lead early third quarter sound to you?
How's a 30-piece sound? First half. Game was over midway through the second quarter.
Yeah. Basically, Anthony Edwards taking a mop to the floor.
Just see ya.
So, Craig Kilborn, not superstitious. And he's got a top five list. Other than that, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but it's just going to be like a lot of fun. Look, I love that picture. Craig Kilborn's next.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.